The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Talking to the team before the service, and I was bragging on them. I was bragging on Paul because I talked to him on Tuesday about the service and just kind of let him know where we were landing. And then I just said, hey, I trust that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you and the songs that you picked out, and he did. And it's interesting because over the last couple weeks, really since COVID, I've had lots of conversations with people about end of times, right? Everybody thinks we're there, and maybe we are. I don't know. The Bible says we don't know. There's a longing, right? I have a longing in my heart. I was reading this week just of this new earth that the Bible tells us from Genesis to Revelation about. The prophets told us this, that they would say things like this: the desert would blossom with roses, and that the mountaintops would produce sweet wine, and the wolf and the lamb would lie down together, and the lions would chew hay like an ox. Like, there is a physical new earth that is coming. And not only that, the Bible tells us that we are going to have resurrected bodies. And I can't wait, because I feel like at 47 that my body is starting to betray me. And it's really crazy, because you can now I have to actually set an alarm so I don't sleep too much. Because if I sleep like 10 minutes over, it's going to be a doctor's visit, right? So you're going to end up at the chiropractor, you're going to end up somewhere, because something just happened while you were sleeping. But I long for the day where this is all going to be made new, right? There's a app, and I probably shouldn't tell you this because I'll probably lose you. You're all going to be doing this the rest of the service. But there's an app on your phone called Reface. And it's really interesting, because you can take your body, you can take your face, and you can implant it on a celebrity, all right? And so I was messing around with this the other day, and I was trying to think, you know, who do I favor the most in Hollywood? And I think it's Chris Hemsworth, Thor. And so we look alike. And so I put my face on his body, and it was pretty incredible, because I was now 6'3", and just jacked. And I'm thinking, you know what? This may be what it looks like one day. Like, this may be where I'm going. It's going to be so much better, I know. But in my mind, there's this longing for what's to come. And the Bible tells us this. And I read this week. And just a reminder, but one day there'll be no temple. There will be walking, just like we just sang with Jesus. And out of the overflow of the triune God, love and perfection and beauty spills out onto the canvas of creation. And I just wanted to be reminded of that this morning. Like, that's where our hope is. And that's what's coming. So even today, as we look at mission and we look at the new creation that the Bible says starts now in us, it's just a wonderful reminder of where we're going, right? So, with that being said, I am excited about the next 3 weeks. As Kyle just said, we're taking a little bit of a break from where we normally, you know, if you round us enough, typically we teach through books of the Bible straight through. We just got out of one summer out of 15 in Psalms, and so we got a long ways to go with that. And in the fall, we're jumping into 1 Timothy, and we're excited about that. But here's what's crazy. Even as we think about school starting back, right? School starts back tomorrow. Just how crazy fast time just goes by. Like, just flies. My wife does a really good job of celebrating the moment. So every year at the end of the school year, our boys, we have a massive water balloon fight, which is, it always ends up with somebody getting mad because somebody throws it like point blank in their back. But it's a lot of fun, and it's a way we celebrate together, and we go out to dinner that night, and it just seems like it just happened, right? And now here we go. It's another school year. You see, time has a unique way of both perplexing us and centering our perspective in life, doesn't it? At times it feels like it's just flying by, and then at times it feels like it's just a dead stop. I've heard people say, you know, the years seem like they go by so quick, but the days seem like they go by so small, so short, so long. Excuse me. Depends on where you're at, I guess. But perhaps that is why Scripture invites us to redeem the time and make the most of every moment that we've been given. It's been about 12 years, and Jim Geyer does a real good job of this because he's always sending us on staff pictures of celebrating of different campuses and everything. But it's been about 12, almost 13 years since we started at Summit. We were there the first days it opened at the YMCA in Duncan. And I remember walking in and walking out of that place and looking at Sarah and saying, this is it. This is where we're supposed to be. And it wasn't that we were at a church that wasn't great. We were being fed. We loved the people there. But there was something there that morning that just the whole day was about mission. And what I realized is that was what we were missing. Like, we were coming in and we were getting fed, but what we wanted was this perfect picture of what this mission should look like. So we were in, and within a couple of years, I was asked to be on the elder team, and it hasn't changed. But was about 5 years ago, and some of you were here then, we were meeting in September, and we came up with this Vision 2030 plan. And it was we had prayed and we had spent time talking about it, and it was our desire that we would never to dictate necessarily what we thought God should do, but rather to be prayerfully considering His desires for us as a people and the places where He had sovereignly placed us, where we were doing ministry. And in light of those things, we began to articulate some goals, some prayers that we were trusting God that He would accomplish through the ministry of Summit. We believed all these things might continue to move us toward a greater outcome of giving and these tangible things that God had given us to spread the gospel so that every man, woman, and child would hear the gospel. And I say that all today, this morning, because we still believe that's where God is pushing us. And we still are praying, expecting towards this 2030 vision that's what God's going to do. So this morning, I wanted to take a few minutes because there's been a lot of people that have come in since then that have no idea what I'm talking about. And so this vision, it's based off of five distinctives that we hold very high here, and Kyle just mentioned them briefly. The first thing is that we are a target-driven church. We are a target-driven ministry hoping to saturate our God-given geographies with the hope of the gospel. And we're not seeking to live on purpose where God, we are seeking to live on purpose where God in His infinite wisdom has placed us in the circles where we live and where we do life. And even today, it's great because we can look and we can celebrate what God has done just in the last couple of years. If you were here back in the spring, we were able to be a part of something called My Circle, and Jim Murphy came in and he taught this evangelism class where we had 75 people that were a part of that, which was a way to equip us to share the gospel and live intentionally in the places we've been put. And I've heard stories and stories of what God's doing that. We've engaged in intentional community outreach where in our circles over the last 18 months, where we have just redesigned our Every Child initiative that will be, we have a $20,000 budget to invest in foster care and adoption and global orphan care. This is all what's happening here. And even in smaller circles, like even this past week, I was talking to the Trones, and it was great. They just had a block party in their neighborhood in trying to just connect with the people in their neighborhood, which will eventually lead to some very spiritual talks. Like, that's what we're talking about. That's what it looks like to be target-driven. The other thing that one of the other ones we talk about is this gospel motivation, spiritual formation, because that's where it starts. We are a ministry that emphasizes this as the love of Christ compels us as we follow him and have actively participate in his Spirit's work within us. And we are not done intentionally being formed. Like, God's still working in us. He still sanctifies us and being formed into the image and the likeness of Christ. All of us alongside one another, maturing and growing in the context of meaningful community. 2 years ago, we were praying that God would allow us to give greater clarity and resources for intentional discipleship at Summit. And with our recent changes in life groups and the upcoming exciting formations, Bible study that many of you have been a part of, we're excited. This past year, we baptized over 70 people. And that's something to celebrate. Interdependent leadership is one of the reasons I'm here, right? We're a ministry that is committed to this, where Christ truly is the head of the church. And we're led by a plurality of elders and staff and various functions and gifts who all submit to Christ and therefore one another. And we're not growing, and we're going to continue to do this. We're continuing to grow our team. Even today, we're celebrating the growth of that. We're thrilled that God is expanding our staff. He's expanding our elder team. We'll be excited in the next couple weeks to present before you two guys that we're bringing in as elders. This past year, we've been able to add to our congregation support. Jody Bowser is a new guy that we have in Cherrydale. He's going to assist with Kyle. Dusty Martin has been in Easley now for 16 months. We brought on a young lady named Jess Helms, who is our administrative support in Simpsonville. And then in a couple weeks, we got a guy coming in named Jared Boyd, who's going to be helping with Terry in Simpsonville. So this is encouraging, right? This is what God continues to do. Church planning and church partnership, that's another big part of who we are. And we're extremely excited about the fact that we've had 130 people who've participated in the Upstate Collective over the last several years. And God's growing that. We mentioned last week that we just kicked off a church that's it's on Pelham Road through the collective. And the name of the church, so you can be praying for them, is Redemption Life Fellowship. So we have a team. We have several people even from Summit that have gone to be a part of that team as that church gets started. They had their first vision night this past Sunday. There was about 80 people there. So we're currently praying, and God, we know that God's going to continue to plant churches through this. And then finally, global intentionality, right? That God consistently reminds us that he's a global God, and he's still drawing people to himself all over the world. And our current mission partnerships and our 135 partnerships are healthy and they're growing. And I've listened to stories over the last several weeks of stories from Rice Bowl trips and from back-to-back trips. And we're going to continue to do that. And we're coaching and we're supporting several church plants all around the U.S. and all around the world. God is providing through your generosity so that we can continue to join him where he's working. And it's exciting. Like, these are things, like, I don't think we talk about them enough. I don't think we spend enough time, but we should celebrate. This is what God is doing through Summit, through you. Listen, we have always and we will always hold these things with open hands because our foundation desire, our desire is to actively partner and participate with God where he's at work. That's all we want. Where he's working, we want to be. And over the years, we have seen so many of these prayers answered, and we continue to see them. And the breadth of these goals and desires swells and reaches well beyond our four congregations. It will never be a task we can accomplish alone, though. And yet, actively, it reminds us that it takes each man, each woman, each child to reach every man and woman and child. It takes us all. And God has intended it to be this from the beginning. So while we keep pressing outward, while we keep growing our partnerships, while we keep linking arms with things like the Upstate Church Collective, while we keep lifting our eyes towards those who still need to know about Jesus and the life-altering redemption he offers, part of the ways those things become liable and accessible and tangible in everyday life is when the people of God are collectively being spiritually formed in His grace and in His truth and in His ways. I was reading this week in 2 Corinthians, and we're getting ready to land there. This is just the beginning, so we're going to be here a while. I'm kidding. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And 2 Corinthians 4:5-6 says this, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So that's what the next 3 weeks is going to be about. So today, we're going to start with the why. So again, if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians, starting in chapter 5, verse 17, would you read with me? "Therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Paul is, he's writing to a church that is, it's in a crazy time, right? So he's writing to this church that I would describe it kind of, it was a port city, like a New York City. It was exploding with culture. And part of the reason he was writing to them is they were struggling with sin. They were struggling with immorality. They were struggling with sin things. So he was encouraging them, all the while continuing to draw their attention back to the gospel, back to God's good and perfect work in their own hearts in the world where God had, where he had placed them. And this is a timely word for us, because this is where we find ourselves, right? Even today, we need to be reminded why the mission of the church matters. I need to be reminded. And Paul brings it straight, he just brings it straight to them, and he addresses these issues and concerns by focusing on the most important thing, that the good news of the gospel and his intended destination is to every man, woman, and child. It matters because God, listen to what he says, reconciled us to himself for relationship and representation. It's both. And if you notice in verse 17, what we just read, I had one commentator said this, it's really good. He said this, "What God does for us in Jesus Christ through the work of his Holy Spirit is a complete recreation, a new life." And I don't know if you think about that. We just kind of, we briefly just talked about it when we opened, about the hope of this new earth, this that we long for the day. But the Bible says that the moment you and I become a Christian, that's in play. It's already begun. And there's some important things that I think we need to remember. We know, but we forget so easily, that I wanted to just briefly go over this morning. First of all, if you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it to you. But Ezekiel 36:26 says this, "And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So the Bible tells us the moment you and I become followers of Jesus, immediately you've been given a new heart. And if you didn't know this, what God wants from you and what God wants from me is simply this. He wants our heart. He wants your heart. And in the moment that takes place, things begin to change in you because we start to love God the way we should love God, and we start to love Jesus the way we should love Jesus. And it's this vertical relationship that starts to affect the horizontal relationships in our life. And too many times, if you look at most religions, it starts with the horizontal before you can even get to the vertical, right? I've got to be able to pull myself up by my bootstraps before God's going to accept me, and that's not what the gospel says here. He says we've been given a new heart. Through the years, I've had the privilege of walking with a lot of young businessmen that have come to know Jesus later in life. And it's really fun to watch because, like many of you, I became a Christian early in life. I was baptized at 8. And so very, very much saved, but little different than when you become to know Jesus at 40. And one of the things that I love and one of the discussions that I continue to have was these men who just fall in love with Jesus. Like it just clicks because they've been given a new heart. But here's what's crazy. As much as they love Jesus, the same compulsions and the mess that they were battling with, it's not like it just goes away. It didn't just disappear in the moment, just the moment you become a follower of Jesus. What happens is that affection for Jesus, the want to be with Jesus, to continue to love Jesus, as that grows, what actually happens is those compulsions that change you down, they begin to let you go. That's where the freedom comes. But you have to continue to grow in it. I do a lot of counseling, but I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I think so many of our marriages that we're having problems with our marriage problems because the vertical is not there. Does it make sense? So what I'm saying is so many times what we do is we look at our spouses to be what they were never intended to be. Or we do it with our kids. We do the same thing. Our kids go a little rogue, or they get a little bit messy and things, and what we find out is what we're doing to our kids is we're putting them in a place where they were never intended to be, because it starts here. It starts here. And as this grows, what we see is the horizontal takes care of itself, because we've been given a new heart. Romans 8. If you want to turn there, you can. Romans 8, starting in verse 5, says this: For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. What the Bible tells us is not only are you given a new heart, but you're given a new mind. And that new mind starts to change the way I think, the way I do life. That mindset is to lift my face from the brokenness and the wickedness of this world, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek His temple. The Bible says this: whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is beautiful, think on these things in the way the Apostle Paul said, right? Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that my mindset is not navel gazing or looking at my own shame or my own guilt or my own failures, but locked in to His complete good work on my behalf. We've been given a new mind. And then finally, if you want to turn over to Galatians 2:20. Not only have we been given a new heart and a new mind, the Bible says we've been given a new identity. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I know, I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are a people of many identities, aren't we? We are. And yet we're in an identity crisis, it seems like. I thought about it this week. I have lots of titles. I'm Dr. Josh, chiropractor. Pastor Josh. I'm the husband of Sarah Keels. I'm the father of three knuckleheads. And I got lots of titles. And they're good titles. They're great. The problem with titles, the problem with our identity in so many different things, is the order of the identity. And it's always a good reminder, because here's the deal. Those are all three good things in my life, 3, 4, 5, whatever they are. But they all can be taken away from me. Every one of them. Right? I can break my hands and chiropractic's done. I can lose my voice. Preaching's done. I could lose my family. Like, those are all things that can be taken away. But what this says is that my identity in him is sealed. Can't be, it's the only thing I got that can't be taken from me. And it's just a good reminder this morning when we talk about what it looks like to be a new creation. That's what Paul is reminding them. And mission matters because of it. He continues in 18 through 20. He says, God's doing it all. Reconciliation means to restore to a friendship or to restore harmony. It means to make things right between two or more groups. So don't miss this. The reconciliation that he's talking about, he's defining a mark of what God is up to in us and throughout our lives. And the New Testament never, you know, if you notice, the New Testament never talks about God being reconciled to the world, but he's always, always talking about the world being reconciled to him. That's why you always hear us talk about we love you because you loved us first. He made the first move to restore where we severed with our sinfulness. He looked upon the obedience of his son so that he might forever, in our disobedience, forgive us. And that we might become sons and daughters because of Jesus. And that's the gospel. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I just want you to close your eyes where you're at. And I want you to listen to me. Because I think we need to be reminded of this. I didn't know him. We didn't love him. We didn't enjoy him. We didn't follow him. Our lives did not reflect anything close to what resembles his character. But he met us and he changed us. He forgave us. He restored us. He brought us into his family as sons and daughters, and he calls us beloved. And he enjoys us. He enjoys me. He enjoys you. And he wants to be with you. Like, that's a reminder that we need to remind ourselves. And that's not it. You can open your eyes. Not even close. In a surprising way, not only does he recreate us and he reconciles us to himself through Christ, but he also entrusts the ministry and the message of reconciliation. And that is mind-blowing. So it's not only that he saves us, he brings us on to the team. The ministry of reconciliation is this. In Christ, God is not, he's not counting our sins against us. The moment you become a Christian, it's all paid for. Like what you did yesterday, what you did today, what you're going to do tomorrow, it's all been paid for. And because of Christ and what he did for us, we are now invited to actively participate with God and extending into the world all around us the same kind of renewal, the same kind of experience, so that they would experience Christ. We share in the life of the, this is great, we share in the life of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and we serve others for his sake and for their good. We're on the team. We're on the dream team. When I was in high school, believe it or not, outside of baseball, my second best sport was actually basketball. And so there was a moment that I had to make a decision because I'm not very tall. And so I was in the 10th grade, and I knew baseball was where I was going, but I still loved the game. And so I made the decision that I wasn't going to play. I was at a really big high school. As a matter of fact, in 1993, we were the number one team in the nation of, at the time, 4A schools. And anyway, I decided I wasn't going to play, but there was a guy on the team. His name is Cam Glover, and he was about the same size, maybe a little taller, but we were about the same skill. And I tried to talk him out to him. I'm like, look, buddy, you're never going to smell the court. Like, you're never going to play. And he said this to me. I remember this. He said, I don't care if I play, because this team is going to be good, and I'm going to be a part of this team. And I do remember years later when he was on that team, and he walked by me and he'd just do this, like, I'm on the number one team. I get it. I don't play anymore. But here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of this. Not only are you on the team, but God wants you to play. He wants you to play. The message of reconciliation is this: in Christ, God is making the appeal through us. And in God's sovereign design, he intended to further his work of redemption and reconciliation through his people. It's the genius of it. He is making appeal through us. We are his ambassadors. We are proclaiming that God has declared peace at the cross through the willing sacrifice of his Son to all whom believe and put their faith and trust in him. And that's what it means when we talk about relationship and representation. God has chosen that the demonstration and the declaration of the gospel would go in you and it would go in me, as in wherever we go. If we go to the grocery store, if we go to the ball field, if we go to the bank, if we go to our jobs, we go to school, wherever it goes, it goes. And I want you to hear this, because I don't know that we truly believe it, but we're not alive today primarily for your job. We're not alive today for money. We're not alive today for our pleasures or our hobbies or even our relationships. We are alive today because either God desires to know you and to reconcile you to himself, or because he has already rescued you into the right restored relationship and is calling you to be his representation everywhere you go. That's it. That's the why. So I don't know where this meets you this morning, but I think it begs two questions. First of all, do you know him? Man, I was reading this week, and it was one of those moments where it's almost like the air would just was sucked out of me, because I think there are so many churches this morning where people are there that are worshiping, or maybe not worshiping, that don't know him. Like, do you have an affection for Jesus? Now, it may just be a tiny little smoldering flame, or it may be a forest fire, but I think you have to ask yourself the question, do you have affection for Jesus? Because that's where it starts. For the vast majority of us in the room, I know the answer. But it's amazing because we've all, for most of us, we live here in the upstate of South Carolina. It's not an accident that you're here. The Bible tells us that. It's not an accident that you're alive today and you're living in the upstate of South Carolina. You could have been, I could have been born 500 years ago in an unnamed village across the world. But God has, he has set you apart for himself right now, right here, for this very purpose. For the why. To be in relationship with God, to grow in relationship with God, to help others in relationship with God, so that we might reflect the image of God for that relationship to those who have not been reconciled to God. That is your, that is why you're here. That is why the mission of God matters. Listen, what if we are the means by which God designed the gospel to be made accessible to those who live in the city in this region of the world? What if? Maybe, just maybe, the family you are a part of, or the neighborhood you live in, or the place where you work, or the people that you go to school with, the friends that you are connected to, the strangers that you meet, just maybe, every place that you have been given influence in relationship, God has meant for you to be there. Do you believe that? You know, I get tired of hearing, I've really got frustrated with hearing this lately, that the problem in America is relevancy. I've been walking with some pastors that are a part of the Methodist Church, and if you don't know, a lot's going on there. There's a lot going on there. But the title is the Bible is no longer relevant. That's the problem. Let me tell you something, folks. It has nothing to do with relevancy. It has to do with accessibility. That's the issue. And I'm not talking about the church building. I'm not talking about the steeple. I'm talking about the people. My uncle's church burned down this week. Got hit by lightning. Burned it down. Not the church. The building did. They're meeting this morning. The church is meeting right now. And don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for this place, because this building is actually the place where a culmination of gospel proclamation comes, and we sing and we enjoy each other and we worship. But it's not the church. I'm talking about the accessibility in terms of you and I believing, truly believing, that our lives are playing out on the canvas of time and history right now where God has intended us to be. So what does it look like? Listen, when we realize that our ever-growing relationship with God is not just about us, not even just about us and God, it's about what God is doing in us for the sake of those who don't know Him, that changes everything. And we live transformed lives and verbally articulate the good news of what God has done for us in Christ in such a way that our family members and our neighbors and our coworkers and our classmates and our friends and even strangers that we come in contact with all have the repeated opportunity to see and hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without going anywhere. That's the why. And that's why mission matters. It matters now. It'll matter for eternity, regardless of what culture trends sweep through each generation. Nothing will surpass the significance of God's mission through His church. Nothing will sway the mission, no global crisis, no political agenda, no matter how far the church is pushed beyond the fringes of society. God is reconciling a people to Himself for relationship and representation. And nothing will stop it. Do you want to play? That's the question. Do you want to be a part? I'm going to ask the team to come up. And as they come up, I've got three questions I just want to ask you this morning. I want you to think about this, where you're at. And then I'm going to pray over us. I want you to take a moment to consider. Think about it. Where were you when the good news of Jesus first came to you? Think about it. Where were you at? How did that become accessible to you? Can you remember? I want you to take another moment to consider this. Is there a step you need to take when it comes to making the gospel more accessible to the people you share life with in the circle where God's placed you? I mean, I know we're doing a lot of these things, and one of the things we've encouraged you to do is to write a name down and to take time praying over those names every day. I just don't want us to stop there. Like, where is it? Is it somebody that you got a name up here that you're praying for, that you're doing life with every day? Like, think about it. Are you talking about Jesus? And then this, I want you to take a moment to consider, since this is what God is up to throughout the world, reconciling a people to himself, and his primary vehicle to accomplish this is the church. How does this truth shape the way you relate to and engage with this church? It's just questions to think about. And we're going to talk more about it over the next 2 weeks. Next week, the how, and then the following week, the what. But I just want you to think this week. Be reminded of why. This is why we're here. This is it. This is your mission. Students, whatever you decide to do in your life, that is secondary to this. Would you bow your heads where you're at? Lord, we do love you because you loved us first. And it is so easy for me to lose focus anyway. But to forget the why. Lord, my prayer for myself, my prayer for my family, for my church family, first is that you would grow an affection in me for you. Lord, that you would light a fire in my heart. Lord, that we as a church would just love you more and more and more and more. And I think some of that starts off with just reminding me how big my sin was, but how much bigger your grace is. Lord, would you just continue to stir that fire in us? Because as that grows, what we know happens is it starts to affect everything horizontally in our lives. The way we do life, the relationships we have, the people that we do life with. Lord, and in the busyness of everything that we have going on, Lord, would you just remind us of that? But remind us and put people's names on our heart that we know are far from you. And let us be the light in the circles that you've sovereignly placed us. Lord, I thank you for the people that you've put in my life that led me towards you. And the faithfulness of those. Lord, we want to be that way. Lord, use us, guide us. And we ask these things in your precious holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.